Welcome to the Fishers of Men, a missionary Baptist ministry featuring Brother Mike Bronner of Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. If you would like to contact Brother Mike Bronner, his mailing address is P.O. Box 1523, Petersburg, Alaska 99833, or you can reach him at KRSA at area code 907-772-3891. It's time now for the Fishers of Men on KRSA.
I am dwelling on the mountain where the golden sunlight gleams, or a land whose wondrous beauty far exceeds my fondest dreams. Where the air is pure ethereal, laden with the breath of flowers, they are blooming by the fountain, neath the I can see far down the mountain where I've wandered weary years, often hindered on my journey by the broken vows and disappointments thickly sprinkled all the way, but the Spirit led an airy to the is not this the land of Beulah? Blessed land of light, where the flowers bloom forever and the sun is always. Take thy cross, thou needst not fear, for I've trod the way before thee, Blessed, blessed land of light, where the flowers bloom forever and the sun is always bright.
Hello again, this is Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. We're thankful to be able to be back to the radio station once again today and have what we consider another God-given opportunity that we might be able to come this way and try to bring a message from the Word of God. And do sincerely appreciate all who've tuned in and like to invite you to stay tuned in as we try to have prayer and then after prayer take up a thought that's on our heart today. We have been trying to study through a group of material, which is called Articles of Faith. And we've been touching on just basics of what the Bible teaches. These are generally believed positions, generally believed points that's found that the Bible teaches. Just when you read and study the Scriptures and let the Bible teach what the Bible teaches, you find these to be true. And I appreciate everyone who has let me know that they've been listening and that they have enjoyed the messages, enjoyed the thoughts, and the doctrine that's been presented. It means a lot, and appreciate you telling us that you're praying for us. So continue to do that. We want to be careful to do what the Lord would have for us to do. Our goal and our intent is to just do that, address those things which the Lord sees would be the most helpful to all who is tuned in. I believe very much that it is the Lord who knows the best what would be the most helpful for us all to consider. So it's to Him we look, try to follow after His leadership and guidance as we do this work. We have said that we have some points on our heart we want to try to consider, but we want to have prayer before that we take up these points, and I'd like to invite you to pray with us if it's to where that you can. So if it's to where that you can and you would, let us pray. Holy and wise Father, we're thankful again for your rich many blessings that you've so richly bestowed upon us through thy Son, Christ Jesus. We're thankful, Lord, for your mercy that you extend toward us. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to arise and come forward into another day, knowing, O God, that we come so short in so many ways. We ask you to forgive us and cleanse us and help us, God, that along the journey of life that we'd ever be such that you could use, be such a vessel, Father, that'd be meet for thy use in all good things. We pray, Lord, for deliverance from those things, those unseen dangers and those snares which are about us. Help us, Lord, as a forgiven child of God, to walk in the light. We pray for those who that are not well, for the sad, the lonely, for the afflicted, and mostly for those who are lost. We pray, O God, that their eyes would be open to their own eternal condition. Help them to see their need and turn with open face toward the cross of Calvary, that, Lord, they might put their trust in the only begotten Son of God, that, Father, they'd find soul salvation. And we pray, Father, for the children of God, that you lead and guide and direct. Help, O Lord, the children of God to hear the call of the Spirit. Ye, Lord, to be led unto you unite with the house of God, putting their light upon the candlestick, and from there, Lord, serving thee. And we pray, O God, for the church, that you'd bless her in this season where that efforts are being made, yea, to labor together and to be revived, the work of God might go forth. Pray, Lord, that you would bless the work and help her, Father, that she would ever be encouraged to continue and labor on. We pray for those you've called to carry the Word of God. Pray for deliverance from harm's way. Pray, O God, that you would grant that have opportunity to study. May it be richly supplied with those things which you see would be the most effective. Pray, Lord, for our country, for indeed we stand in a needy time, and ask you, Lord, that you'd mercifully help us. Lord, grant wisdom and understanding. Yea, Lord, intervene. For we know without thee, our God, we can do nothing. We ask you now to bless this work, bless this broadcast, bless this message as it goes forth. And those who've tuned in, we pray you'd richly bless their lives. And Father, wheresoever we each stand, we pray you'd ever draw us closer to thee. Forgiving us again our sins and those things we failed to ask, fail not to grant. If we seek all favors and blessings in Christ's name, for his name's sake we do pray. Amen. As we said earlier, we do have a thought that's on our heart we feel like we need to try to address, and the Lord's help, we will try to address some thoughts now. As we've said earlier, we've been taking up some thoughts, what's considered articles of faith. We have lately been studying what's called the points related to baptism and the Lord's Supper. These are the only church ordinances we find that are that the Lord entrusted to the church to continue to carry out. Previously, we took up some thoughts relating to the subject of baptism. And with the Lord's help now, we'd like to take up points relating to the subject of the Lord's Supper. We want to read what that the article expresses relating to baptism and see how that this ties in to these points which consider the subject of the Lord's Supper, or what the Bible calls communion. In reading this, we find, says, we believe that Christian baptism is the immersion in water of a believer into the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost to show forth in a solemn and beautiful emblem our faith in the crucified, buried, and risen Savior, with its effect in our death to sin and resurrection to a new life, that it is prerequisite to privileges of a church relation and to the Lord's Supper, in which the members of the church, by the sacred use of bread and wine, are to commemorate together the dying love of Christ, preceded always by solemn self-examination. As many has been following these messages know that the last time that we took up this article, we addressed the point of baptism and got down to the point to where that this article addresses that baptism is a prerequisite to the privileges of a church relation. And what that means, the privileges of a church relation, be what we'd call church membership or church fellowship. That baptism is prerequisite to these privileges. And not only is it prerequisite to the church relation, but also to communion or the Lord's Supper. Because that the order given is baptism before church relationship, or we might say, put it this way, baptism in order to be a church member, and the Lord's Supper or communion is for those who are church members. And pointing out some verses of Scripture that teach these points, we turn to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, we'll read some verses of Scripture, beginning with verse 37. And this is what followed when that the brethren were gathered together on the day of Pentecost, and the Lord Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, ascended back to the right hand of the Father. And why, as he was there, he poured forth, sent forth the Holy Ghost, that meant the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, took up its abode in the church. Reading then from Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 37, we find what follows. When the Apostle Peter had explained to the crowd, to that gathered assembly, that large number of people who had witnessed the reaction of the Spirit of God taking up its abode in the church. So as the Apostle Paul had explained this, we find how the people responded. Beginning then in verse 37, we find it written, "Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and prayers, This reading from Acts chapter 2 has been the 37th through the 42nd verse. I notice in these scriptures how that indeed these who had gladly received the word of the Lord, these believers, these children of God, that then they were baptized. They were brought in to this fellowship, to this assembly, this church, through baptism. And then we find, having been baptized, it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Now this is all the solemn work of the congregation, the solemn work of when assembled together. It is through the congregation or into the congregation that they were baptized to enter into this doctrine and fellowship. And once there, they participated in this breaking of bread or this taking of the Lord's Supper, which the Bible teaches is communion. So there is a specific order. There is a relationship that is needed first. That relationship not only being soul salvation, but then joining into the group, through, as we spoke previously, which is through baptism. I noticed then that after being baptized, that brought them in. Brought them into this relationship with the church or this group. They continued in a doctrine, the doctrine which the apostles were teaching, and that same doctrine we addressed previously, and that God brought and delivered unto them and told them to keep it fast. Hold to it. Don't let it slip through your fingers. Don't let it slip away, but hold fast to it. And so therein, in this relationship, having been thus united unto them, they continued there and enjoyed this breaking of bread, which is this celebration or this remembrance of all that the Lord has done for the church, not only in order that they may be born again, but then that they might enter into this relationship, this church relationship, with promise of the better resurrection. We'll find another verse of Scripture relating to this out of Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20 are sometimes called the Great Commission. In these verses, we find the Lord, having been resurrected, said to the church, He said, All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Here we notice that the Lord says this, Teach them, baptize them, and then teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded. Now that word to observe all things, that word observe, is much more than just to look upon. Sometimes when we think about observing something, we think that that means that we're to look at it. But to observe something means to follow it, to guard it, to keep it safe, to keep it fast. That's the meaning of the original Greek from which these words were translated. And so in that, we find that what the church is being told is once people are taught, that is, having been made disciples through by grace through faith, that these are to be baptized. Having been baptized, then they're to help observe or to keep fast, to protect, to hold fast to these doctrines, stay in the fellowship. And these things the Lord commanded. So, we find that to parallel with what we read from Acts chapter 2. And that is that these, having been baptized, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers, all religious works, all religious observations. So, indeed, that baptism is prerequisite to church membership and also to the Lord's Supper. But that's not all the article teaches. The article also says that in this taking of communion, or this Lord's Supper, that it is the members for the church, that by this sacred use of bread and wine, they commemorate together the dying love of Christ. Think about the different Gospels which address this and teach us what happened on that night when the Lord instituted this ordinance in the church. It's recorded in all of the Gospels. You read more about it in Matthew and Mark. There is very similar teaching without the close adherence to the chronology or the chronological order of the events that transpired in the book of Luke. And then we even get more details over in the 13th chapter of John. Well, here we'd like to read out of Mark. We'll read out of Mark chapter 14. And we'll read a portion of this, where that the Lord, what he said the night that he instituted this among his little church. He said, "And as they did eat," this is Mark 14, verse 22, "and as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave it to them and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, 'This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I'll drink no more of the fruit of the vine until the day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God.'" Notice that he teaches these then. Here is something that you'll observe. Here is when you observe this. Remember, my broken body, the body broken for sin's debt. This, when it you observe this, do it in remembrance of me. And then he said of a cup, remember this. Remember the blood, the shed blood that flowed from the broken body. The blood which we find in many verses of Scripture, particularly I think about the book of Leviticus that tells us how that sins are forgiven through the shedding of blood. Hebrews says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. To think about the broken body and in the breaking of the body, the shedding of the blood, the taking away of sins through the sinless sacrifice of Christ Jesus, giving himself that men, women, boys, and girls who look toward him with all their trust can receive the great benefits of this salvation and having thus been saved to unite to his body through baptism, that we might then enjoy this memorial. The Apostle Paul, in teaching the Corinthians, he also addresses this subject in 1 Corinthians 11. Think about 1 Corinthians 11, beginning with verse 23. Here we find the Apostle teaching the church. He says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, and that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' And after the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread, drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come.'" So what are we showing forth? What is it that's being presented? It's the Lord's death, his body being broken, his blood being shed. And as the Lord said, "This will do in remembrance of me," as a memorial, a remembrance. I saw it, and this is a beautiful remembrance, a remembrance of those who have received the benefits of it, of what Christ done for all of mankind, having done this, having did this work, having completed it, that we through that work, through full trust in him, could be saved. And not only be saved, but then have the church that as a child of God we could unite to and enjoy those, as the Scripture refers to, not just joy, but a full joy in the Lord. Think about over this same chapter, following verses, touches on the last part of this article that says, speaking of this Lord's Supper, says it's always to be preceded always by solemn self-examination. Now, a part of life is sin, not something we should be accept as a part of life we can't do anything about. It's not an acceptable part of life, but it is a part of life. Insomuch the Scripture says, any man says he has not sinned, he deceives himself, and the truth is not in him. Scripture says there's none good, no, not one. And so that, the Scriptures are plain, that we battle against sin. The Apostle Paul, referring to his past life, he said, referred to himself as a sinner, which he considered as chief among sinners. So sin is something we struggle against, a thing that we battle against. And our victory is always found in Christ. So before we take the Lord's Supper, the taking of the Lord's Supper, the participation in it, should follow a self-examination. Considering this, out of this same chapter in 1 Corinthians 11, Scripture says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Notice these verses. "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Now I'd say this, that word sleep means the sleep of death. Scripture says, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." Self-examination is very important, not to see if we're worthy. There's none worthy. No, not one. Not any is worthy to take of this. But we are to set sin aside through repentance. And repentance is how we clean ourselves up, that then we might take of this. And as we take of this, have a remembrance, have our mind upon Christ in remembering what He's done for us as we are church members, and thereby, as we have been saved, we know we receive the great benefits of what Christ has done for us. I hope something's been brought forth. It's been helpful. If so, you be careful to thank the Lord for that, as we've tried to touch on these points. Appreciate your prayers. Appreciate you tuning in. You be careful to pray for me, and I'll be careful to pray for you as well. Until we're able to come this way again, this is Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church, praying God would richly bless you and yours.
You have been listening to The Fishers of Men, a missionary Baptist ministry featuring Brother Mike Bronner of Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. And you can contact Brother Bronner at area code 907-772-3891, or you can reach him by mail at P.O. Box 1523, Petersburg, Alaska 99833. Thank you for listening to The Fishers of Men on KRSA.